Welcome to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast, a program that features inspiring messages and presentations by Dr. Wintley Phipps. My name is Sandra Enterman. I'm your guest host, sitting in for Adrian Westney Jr. We usually feature music on this broadcast, but not today. For the sake of time, we need to go right to the message, When God Says Wait. Here's Pastor Phipps.
Come on now, when God says, wait, wait. When the news had reached the disciples that Jesus had risen from the dead, the disciples gathered together in the upper room, singing and praising the Lord. Suddenly, the two disciples who met Jesus on the road to Emmaus came running, knocking on the door, out of breath, saying, "We saw him. He's risen." The Bible says that the silent stranger who had entered the room with those two men suddenly became visible to their eyes. Jesus materialized in their midst. Have mercy, Jesus. As a matter of fact, let's read about it. The book of Luke, chapter 24. The Bible says, "And as they thus spake," while they were speaking, what happened? Verse 36, chapter 24, the book of Luke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." Now I want you to run on down to verse 52 of that chapter. It says, "They worshipped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy." But look at verse 49. Look at what Jesus told them after he materialized in their midst. Verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem." That means what? Wait until ye be endued with power from on high. Well, when Jesus left their midst, they remembered what Jesus had instructed them to do, to go to Jerusalem and to wait for power. They went back to Jerusalem, and they were waiting. Now, is there anyone under the sound of my voice today who can honestly say that they enjoy, really enjoy, waiting? Is there anyone here who so loves waiting that they are ready to say honestly that for them, waiting is a pleasure? Maybe there is someone here today who loves waiting at the post office. I don't know. Or waiting at the bank. Or waiting at the traffic light. Or waiting in the emergency room of a large city hospital. I haven't had to go very often, but the times I've gone, I can say it's incredible how long you have to wait in some of the nation's hospital emergency rooms. You think Jesus is going to come before you get waited on. We live in a society and in a day and age when waiting is seen as a waste of time. Let's face it, waiting isn't easy for most of us. We've been programmed to get things fast. Nobody likes to wait today. Howard Whitman once said, "Life is composed of waiting periods. The child must wait until he's old enough to have a bicycle. The young man must wait until he's old enough to drive a car. The medical student must wait for his diploma. The husband must wait for his promotion. The young couple wait for their savings to build up so they can buy a new home." The art of waiting, said Howard Whitman, is not learned at once. Brothers and sisters, don't you just love, I know I do, the new checkouts at Home Depot and Walmart. You know the ones that let you just walk up with your goods and just scan your items and pay for yourself. I love it because usually I don't have to wait, because those lines are not frequented by those who are technologically challenged. We live in today a no-waiting generation. Jiffy Lube, fast food, Federal Express. I haven't seen a restaurant lately advertising food cooked slowly. As people today, we don't like to wait, and when we have to wait, we become a tribe of unhappy people. I read a story of a traveler who was being made to wait with a lot of other people on an airplane that was late because another flight had been canceled, and the passengers grew more impatient by the hour. Finally, an angry passenger pushed his way to the front of the line, slammed his ticket down, and said, "I must be on this flight now, and I must be in first class." The flight attendant, trying to be nice, said, "Sir, we will get to you as soon as possible, but you must wait in line like everybody else." He quickly said, "Ma'am, do you have any idea who I am?" Without hesitation, she smiled, picked up the intercom, got on the microphone and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have a passenger here at the gate who does not know who he is. Will somebody come and help identify him, please?" The truth is, when we have to wait, we don't know what to do with ourselves. Because we know life is so short, we see waiting as a waste of time. Church, there are parts of this world, God told me, take my time. There are parts of this world where waiting is something people get used to doing. Are you with me today? It is part of the culture. It's part of the way of life. You know, and you get there with your rushing attitude and the folks say, "Where are you going? Slow down. The taxi will wait for you." And many people don't like to wait because they pay a high price when they don't like to wait. You know, if when you rush it, you can pay a price. I read of a thief in France who stole some cookies and chocolates and caramels from his employer. He couldn't wait to enjoy his loot, and the police were able to find him because they followed the trail of the rappers to his hideout and arrested him. I know most of you know what it's like to wait, because I know most of you had to wait on a visa. You know what it's like to wait, because you had to wait on your visa. Amen? And some of you are waiting on your green card right now. Huh? Come on now. And by the way, I'm going to take this moment to give you some free immigration advice. If you've applied for a green card, don't travel out of this country. Wait! Don't go nowhere. Like my mother used to say, keep your little skin quiet. If you've applied for your green card, don't travel back out. Don't go home. I'm going. Don't go home. Wait. Stay put. Wait until everything is settled. Because if you leave this country while everything is being processed, it's going to void out. I'm getting given some free immigration advice. It's going to void out everything that you're doing, and you're going to have to stay out of this country until the process starts all over again. That's all for the free immigration advice. I'm going to admit something to you today. I don't like to wait. And most of all, I do not like to wait in traffic. I would rather take 10 country roads rather than sit waiting in traffic. I'd much rather enjoy God's creation than to suck up somebody else's exhaust. Did you know that most people would rather pay twice as much and get something today than to order it and wait 6 weeks to get it? As much as we may not like it or understand it, sometimes God makes us wait. Sometimes God doesn't always answer all our prayers with absolutely coming right up. Sometimes he says, no, no. Sometimes, like with Moses, God not only says no, but he gets emphatic. He says to Moses, you remember he said to Moses, Moses, not only did I say no, but we're not going to talk about this again. Woo! Last week we learned that sometimes God not only says no, but sometimes God is silent. He's what? Silent. Today my message is when God says, wait. One day a man saw his preacher pacing up and down the floor like a caged lion. What's the trouble? Pastor Brooks asked the friend. The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't, he said. Brothers and sisters, how do you handle it when God says wait? How do you handle it when God, by providence and circumstance, says wait? Do you take it well? The scriptures tell us in Acts, and let's go back to Acts 1:13, our scripture. It tells us in this chapter that the disciples did as Jesus commanded. They waited in Jerusalem. And in Acts 1:13, it says, and when they were come up and come in, they went up into where? An upper room where abode what? Both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. That's not the Judas who committed suicide and betrayed Jesus. These all, verse 14, continued with what? One accord in prayer and supplication with the women. So women were there. I said women were there. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there with his brothers. Woo, his brethren. And in those days, look at what they did now. Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of names together were about how many were in the room? 120 folks were packed into that house. Now here we see that all the apostles were there except Judas, Jesus' mother, his brothers, 120 people, and they were doing what? They were waiting on the promise of power. Their experience of waiting in that upper room teaches us that waiting on the Lord can be spiritually healthy. Waiting on the Lord can be spiritually profitable. It just all depends on what you're doing while you're waiting. Now, the scripture tells us what the disciples were doing while they were waiting. They weren't twiddling their thumbs. There are three things mentioned in this scripture that they were doing while they were waiting. The first thing the Bible says they did while waiting was to pray. Amen. I said amen. Amen. My wife and I got married. I got to tell you that I had to learn as soon as you get married that you're very different. You both think you know the shortest way home. Come on now. You like the highway, she likes the lights, or the other way. You like the country road, she wants to go bumper to bumper. So when he's driving, use the extra time to pray. Amen? Amen? What's the first thing that the disciples were doing when they were waiting? The Bible says they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Brothers and sisters, don't miss this. The disciples were praying. And they were, guess what? They were praying for what Jesus had already promised would come. Now, they could have said, if Jesus already promised it, why do I have to pray? If Jesus has already promised us power, why do we have to keep praying for power? Why do we have to keep asking for what God has already promised? If he's promised to take care of me, if he's promised to supply all my needs, if God already knows my needs, why do I have to keep asking him for what he's already promised? The disciples knew God's promise of power was sure, but that didn't stop them from praying for power. You see, when you pray, listen to me carefully, for whatever reason, through providence or circumstance, God says, wait, one of the most important things you can do while you're waiting on the Lord to move is to what? Pray. While you're waiting on deliverance, pray. While you're waiting on God to pour out his spirit, pray. While you're waiting on God to answer prayer, pray. While you're waiting on your financial blessing. Or we don't have to be taught that one. I said, we don't have to be taught that one. Come on, are you with me today? When you are waiting on your financial blessing, you keep praying and praying and praying. Amen? While you're waiting on that touch of God to heal your body, pray. When you're waiting on God to save your child, pray. When you don't understand, what you don't understand is that the power of prayer is not about what it does for God. The real power of prayer is about what it does for us. You've heard the expression that prayer changes things. I want you to know that more than prayer changes things, prayer changes us. Prayer humbles us because prayer reminds us where our help comes from. Woo, are you with me today? Prayer changes us because prayer reminds us that only God can see the future and only God can order our steps. Prayer changes us. Prayer teaches us to trust God, teaches us to wait on God. Are you with me today? Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Rest in the Lord. And David said, wait patiently for him. The power of prayer, thank you, Lord, is that the power of prayer changes us. Prayer teaches us respect for the power of God. Prayer changes us, teaches us the kinds of things we need to ask for. When you're really praying, you don't ask for trivial stuff. Are you with me today? Prayer teaches you what to ask for. Prayer teaches you reverence. And without reverence, you cannot know God. Prayer changes us because prayer teaches us how to approach God and worship God. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace. So, church, when God says wait, that's your cue to start praying. I say, when God says wait, that's your cue to start praying. And the more God says wait, the more you pray. Amen? 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 Keep praying. The servant of the Lord says, listen to this. Sometimes answers to our prayers come immediately. And sometimes we have to wait patiently and continue earnestly to plead for the things that we need. Plead for the things that you need. She says we are to keep on asking even if we do not realize the immediate response to our prayers. I say unto you, ask and it shall be what? And listen to this carefully. Listen, this blew my mind. For every earnest prayer put up in faith for anything, an answer will be returned. The answers may not come just as you've expected, but they will come. She said, not perhaps as you have devised in your mind, but it will come. Listen, at the very time when you most need it. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. So the first thing the disciples did while waiting was to pray. The next thing the disciples did while they waited was they studied the Word of God. You see, they were so discouraged and dismayed by what Judas had done in betraying Jesus, they began to search the Scriptures to find out whether what Judas did was foretold in the Scriptures. And then if you have your Bibles, come on, let's look at it. Acts 1:15. And in those days, what happened? Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, what did Peter say? The number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, said Peter, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Woo! Peter's preaching now. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. That's how Judas died. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written, said Peter, in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Whereof these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Church, as Peter began to expound the Old Testament scriptures which foretold the betrayal of Jesus, their study of the scriptures revealed that God is omniscient. He knows everything. Amen. Their study of the scriptures revealed that God knew what Judas would do before Judas did it. Amen. The servant of the Lord says that when you study God's word, study it so that you may not be ignorant of Satan's devices. A failure to study God's word, says my favorite author, listen carefully, is the great cause of mental weakness. Some of us who don't study the word of God, mentally we become weak. When you don't study the word of God, your mind becomes dwarfed and, she says, cheapened. You cheapen your mind when you don't study the word of God. It is not brought in contact with deep and broad principles of eternal truths. The understanding, listen carefully, the understanding adapts itself to the comprehension of the things with which it is familiar. So if all you know is soap operas, your mind will adapt. When God's word, is made your counsel, when you search the scriptures for light, listen, heavenly angels come near you to impress your mind and to enlighten your understanding so that it can be truly said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. So if you're not studying, and I got to be honest with you. I got to be honest. That's one of the reasons I am thankful to God that he let me stay in ministry, even though I'm doing so many other things, because the temptation not to study is so great. Listen carefully. Those only who read the scriptures as the voice of God speaking to them are true learners. You open your understanding to divine instruction. So what do you do when you wait on God? You pray. The next thing you do when you wait on God is what? Study the word of God. Not only did the disciples pray while waiting and study while they were waiting, they worked and carried on the business of the church. You remember the apostles had lost one of the disciples because of Judas' betrayal and suicide, and they had to choose a replacement for Judas. One writer said that there in the upper room, they had the first church business meeting. Amen. And it was there that they chose by lots, they cast lots, and they chose a replacement. So they went from 11 disciples back up to 12. They chose a man, you know his name? Matthias. So not only did the disciples pray and study while they were waiting on answer to their prayers and waiting on God to pour out power, but they were taking care of the business of the church. We are in the beginning of our church building project, and we are waiting on God to guide us and bless us and give us miracles. But while we're waiting, we should be praying. Somebody say amen. Amen. We should be studying. We should be growing in grace. We should be carrying on the business of the church. Jesus wants us to carry on the business of the church and to do our part. Amen. Sometimes God makes us wait also. Before I leave you, sometimes God makes us wait to bless us. Sometimes God makes us wait to bless us. I said, sometimes God makes us wait to bless us. A man by the name of Clive, he left England to go to India many years ago. The ship that he was in was caught in a storm, and the storm drove the ship off course. The ship finally ended up in a South American harbor, and he had to remain there many months before being able to get back to India. And during the long wait, he learned the Portuguese language. And when he reached India, the East Indian Company needed someone to fill an important position. The only thing was they had to speak Portuguese. And he was given this appointment, and he rose to become the Governor General of India. Because, are you with me today? While he was blown off course, and he was, are you with me today? And was waiting, he studied, and he was blessed. George Mueller said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And in his Bible, he also wrote, the stops of a good man are also ordered by the Lord. So when you wait on the Lord, you do what? Pray. What else do you do? Study. And lastly, you do what? You work. Amen? You work for the kingdom of God, and he will bless you. So don't look at waiting as wasting time. Embrace the moments. God told me to give you one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 30, verse 15. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. So when you wait on the Lord, he will come and he'll be your strength.
That concludes our message for today. Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to order a copy, you can call the Seabrook Church on 301-577-6342. That's 301-577-6342. And refer to program number 349. You can also place an order by email at seabrookav@yahoo.com. Again, this is Sandra Enterman sitting in for Adrian Wesney Jr. We hope you enjoyed the program today. And until you can join us again next time, we want to leave you with the words of Jesus written in the Bible in John chapter 10, verse 10. I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.